everyone, and welcome to the Screen Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about eliminating screen problems in their homes. This is Melanie Hempe, and I am so glad you are joining us for the show today. If you are one of our regular listeners, welcome back. And if you are a new friend, we are so glad you found us. You are no longer alone on this journey of navigating screens in your home. You have found your people. And we know how hard it can be sometimes. So today we are so excited to have the print version of the Kids Brains and Screens course out. I just want to tell you that you have got to run over there to Amazon and check out this book. We are thrilled. We know that we have been waiting for so long. We've had some digital versions and now we have the print version. So if you haven't gotten it yet, go over to Amazon. Right now, it's Kids Brains and Screens. And if you need bulk copies, you just need to go to our site and we will navigate that for you as well, because you need to get this curriculum in your school. This is not just a book. It is a full curriculum of lessons and worksheets and quizzes and lesson plans and activity sheets. We have it all. We have tons of collateral material with this book and you will absolutely love it. We'll be talking about that more over the next few weeks on our podcast. But for today, I want to just start off first by saying that our kids are struggling just like we parents are struggling. And when I think about it, it really is all for the same reasons. So the reasons why, as a parent, you're struggling with this issue of screens really is the same as the reasons why your kids are struggling, right? We get confused about the science. We need to understand the medical piece behind this a little more than we might think that we need to understand it, because that drives all of our decisions. We have information and our kids have misinformation. We're believing myths. We're believing things that just aren't true, but because culture thinks they're true, we believe them, because it's so easy to jump on the culture train on all this and believe all the different myths. And we have blind spots, and you know, we have blind spots around our kids. We think they're super smart, so that means they're mature. And we know that intelligence has nothing to do with maturity, for example. But you know what? Our kids have blind spots too, because they look around, they see all their friends on all these devices, so they think they should be on the devices. We all have blind spots that we need to address. And that's what we're doing over here at Screen Strong. We're trying to address the education. We're addressing the science. We're addressing the myths and the blind spots, because you really have to have an open mind when you're talking about an activity that is so addictive. You have to be able to step out of your biases and look back and say, okay, what is the truth behind all of this? And I think sometimes as parents, we want desperately to depend on someone else to do this job for us. I mean, I remember very clearly when Adam was getting very caught up with video games, that I thought that the games were okay, because surely the game companies wouldn't produce something that was bad for my kids, right? I remember so distinctly thinking that. And what a problem that was for us. You cannot trust the game companies to have your child's best interest in mind, just like we can't trust the social media companies and the big tech companies to have our kids' best interest. Now, it would be great if they did, but we just can't assume that that's going to ever happen. So part of the reason why we exist over here at Screen Strong is to give you the behind the scenes information and the science and the truth, because the truth never changes, as we know. With science, we get better and better and better, and we get more information. But the core truth around what we know about screens is never going to change. So I want to encourage you right off the bat here that we cannot depend on the companies that are making these devices to actually be the same companies that are going to help our kids use them the best way that they should. We have everything we need to help our kids. And over here at Screen Strong, my mission and my passion is around giving you everything I wish I had known before we ran into so much trouble with screen addiction in our home. So today's podcast is a clip I did from a media interview on the topic of the responsibility of big tech and their role in the teen mental health crisis. I hope you enjoy listening to this, and I hope you share this podcast with all of your friends far and wide. It will give them not only a good understanding of what Screen Strong is and how we're solving the big problem, but it is going to help them be more encouraged and more empowered to do what they need to do in their homes. Let's listen. I think my biggest concern with social media use for young kids and teenagers is the amount of stress that it puts them under. And I don't think as parents, we can truly appreciate what it's like to be a teenager again and to feel the weight of the stress of the comparison and the being left out and all the graphic content, not only pornography, but all the violent content. It's extremely stressful. The second thing is that it's very isolating. Kids are getting very isolated from their friends. Of course, I know that sounds ironic since they're on social media to be with their friends, but they're not really with their friends on social media at all. But they're also getting very isolated from their parents and their family and their extended family. And I think now we are starting to see the ramifications of years of that disconnect. So honestly, if I were to say the biggest problem is the disconnect with their families, because parents are the only adults out there that are going to care for their kids. Social media companies, no offense, they're just not going to be able to care for kids, your kids, the way that you need to care for your kids. The couple other things that are very harmful for kids is the idea that their identity gets confused, right? They're in a state of extreme growth and, a very sensitive stage of development where they're trying to figure out who they are. So it's very confusing for kids. And I don't say this lightly. It's very confusing. And so once they are detached from their family, they're getting really stressed and now they're confused. Then what happens is their social skills start to wane and they get stunted. And now they don't have the confidence socially to interact. And we know that we're humans and we have to be able to be around other humans. And that is as important as water and food. But now our teenagers are not able to even do that, to even be around. Now they're all anxious. And I feel like the lost potential for other activities also is a big harm. They're not developing other things that give them a really strong sense of purpose in your life, because quite frankly, spending 4 hours on Instagram and TikTok every night before you go to bed is really lacking in purpose. And during this time when you're supposed to be figuring out your goals and your life skills, they're not figuring that out because they're not spending time with that. And I think it leads to a huge sense of hopelessness. And just being, just being on a virtual platform is so overwhelming. It's very big. The world is very big. And we need to do more as our parents and family to just sort of, rein in their world a little bit and get them, some guardrails and help them understand mostly how to pull back and get off. And of course, that's our solution. The solution, sometimes the best solution is just the most simple solution. And that is to get off of social media and not even have smartphones. I think teenagers should have basic phones, not smartphones. Smartphones are for later. My daughter was not quite in middle school yet, and I was talking to some moms at a ball game about what they did and when they got their daughter's phones, and these were moms that are a little bit older. And I remember so clearly one of the moms gave me a card to a psychiatrist, and she said, here's the person that we use, because when you get your daughter a smartphone, she will need to be on anxiety medication. And I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there. I'm like, wait a minute. She's not getting a smartphone then. If she has to be on medication to have a smartphone, to have social media, we're not doing it. And that's where we became Screen Strong, and we decided that we are not going to have smartphones for our kids. And they are just fine. They are in college now. They are all just fine. And they grew up without having a smartphone or social media. And actually, they are doing more than fine. They're doing better than most. They do not have mental health problems, and they have a whole lot of friends. So that's what I mean. I just think that we have to focus on what's happening to our kids, and it's really time to wake up now. And there's so much now in the the culture, you know, it used to be 10 years ago, we weren't talking about this, and we are now. So I'm very excited about the things that are happening in our culture right now. There is a lot of concern right now, even with the Senate hearings around all the questions that they're asking the big tech companies. And I feel like the way we look at it here at Screen Strong is this. We love the attention that this is getting because everyone can agree that it is a big problem. Every single one of the reps there from those tech companies know how big the problem is. That is why none of their kids are on social media. They know. They know the problem. So I'm not going to argue that they know. I'm not going to argue that the problem is huge. But there is a bigger problem, I believe, in our culture. I believe that families need to be educated about what's happening on those platforms, and we need to structure our kids' lives so they can live without them. I think it's just going to be very difficult to change the platforms and make them kid-friendly. So the example that I think of all the time is if you live in a big city, you probably have strip clubs everywhere. And if you don't live in a big city, you probably have strip clubs everywhere. And you as a mom or dad, you would never go let your kids go in that strip club. And you wouldn't really expect the strip club to police too much at the door. I mean, it'd be nice if they did, but the first line of defense is in our home and just not letting our kids go there. And we're not saying forever. We're saying for a certain period of time, although I don't really think anybody needs to go to strip club, but that's a whole nother story. But we're just saying for a period of time when they are the most vulnerable, you know, the teenage brain is set up very well, and our kids are extremely intelligent, but they are not mature and they are not wise. And this is what parents get confused with. And this is what all of our educational material with our parent course and our brand new student course that we have, we teach about this. We teach about brain development. We teach about how everybody needs to take a deep breath and just relax a minute and let our kids grow up first before we hand them something that was never designed for them. Social media was never designed for children or teenagers. And I believe that what we know from the science and what I know from all my experience being on the front lines with families for 10 years, almost 10 years that I've been talking with families and helping families reduce use, not of all screens, but just the problematic screen time, which is video games and social media and pornography. Those three things are the most problematic. And what we need to do is explain to our kids as well as to our families about what's happening in a teenage brain. And so when a child is around middle school, they get into trouble on social media, but it's different from the trouble that they will get in as they get a little bit older because the way their brain is developing, they are wanting to take more risk. So we know that we can't change a teenage brain. I mean, how many decades have we been trying to do that? We cannot change a teenage brain. We need to embrace their gifts, embrace that time, this time of their life, and steer them away from the things that are going to cause them harm. And now, you know, should we go close down all the strip clubs? I mean, some people would think that we should do that and that would be a good thing. But what I'm saying is our kids just don't need to be in the strip clubs. When they do hit around 15 or 16 on my podcast and in my work, we see more problems with sextortion and all the sex crimes online because that makes sense. Because what you will do when you are 10 is a little different than what you're going to be intrigued with when you're 16. So it's almost like kids do a U-turn. So parents get kind of complacent and they think that their kids are okay. But then 15 or 16 hits and they're not okay because now they're taking more risk, like I just said. So the sextortion, how are we going to undo this? How are we going to stop these bad actors from getting on social media? We're not going to be able, but what we can control and what we do have a choice over is access that our kids have. Let's just talk about this just for a second. What is the responsibility of big tech? This is what is hanging us up. I think that we are very smart and wise to look at that question. But I also think that we're kind of missing the mark a little bit. We are never going to change. Like a lot of people say, the train has left the station. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? So what can we do? We can sit here and be super mad, and we can get really angry at all the things that are happening. We get mad at big time. We try to blame all the people out there when really, like I said earlier, that the solution is, first of all, it's just more simple than we want to think. I know with all the families I work with, I know with my own family, with the four teenagers that have been through this house that we have raised ourselves, and we've had four middle school kids, we've had, you know, four high school, we've had them all the ages go through all the stages. And what I know is trying to manage social media and all of the negative things that happen on social media is exhausting. I have tried it all. We have done it all. We have tried all the parental controls. We have done all the filters. We've done it all. And let me tell you, they do not work very long. They do not work very well. They work a little bit. It's better than nothing. It's like a seatbelt. So if we want to encourage big tech to get more seatbelts on board, that's awesome. But as a parent, you still would not let your kid, you know, drive a car that they're not able to drive. Even if they put a seatbelt on, it doesn't matter. So I look at all the parental controls that they're talking about and all the age verifications. I think it's all great. I say, go for it. Give it a try. But I've had four teenagers in my house, and God love them. They're all wonderful people, but they are teenagers. And their number one goal in life when they are teenagers is to push the limit, to try to get around guardrails. They do it with a smile on their face. They want to figure it out like it's a puzzle. What are we thinking? We, the parents, are going to be the only ones that are going to be locked out of our phones because our kids are going to find a way around. And I always thought it was really funny how there was this age verification, for example, for TikTok or any of the other things. That's just, it just doesn't work. So if you have a guardrail that doesn't work, like because your kid can type in any age they want, then it's not going to work. It's only as good as, you know, you can monitor. It's only it doesn't work if you can't control it. So I think that parents are a little behind. I sure was. I made a lot of mistakes, but we figured out a lot of things, and that's what Screen Strong is all about. We are here to educate parents and get you into a community. Those are the things that really are going to fix the problem, is more education with our parents and our kids, and a very strong community that wants to cherish these few years we have during adolescence with each other, and not online getting in trouble with things that they shouldn't be getting in trouble with. My thoughts on the legislation, like the examples out there for banning social media under the age of 16, is this, that no amount of regulation, first of all, no amount of regulation will take the job of a parent. So as long as we know that, as long as we're all very clear on that, then I think regulations are great and they're fine. I would say again, and I'm trying not to get a big grin on my face because I know how serious this is, but I also know teenagers, and I know within 10 minutes they will figure out how to get around the system. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a ban, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't make it 16. I wish we'd make it 18. I mean, I wish we'd make it 25. Actually, 25 is probably scientifically when the frontal cortex, that judgment center in our brain, is finally connected. That might be a good time. But I'm not saying that these regulations are not good. I'm just saying we have to be very careful that we don't lean heavily on these regulations, because then we as parents start getting lazy and we start thinking that these regulations are going to take care of it. So I just want to be very clear to say that as parents, we need to be thankful for any regulation that's out there. But we also need to be extremely educated on why our teenagers and our preteens do not need to be on social media at all. They do not need it. It was never designed for them. It is the worst thing for them at this stage of their development. And I know that one day they will have to use it and they will be fine. because we were all fine when we started using it after we were 10 years old, right? We were not teenagers. And I think we keep forgetting this. And I think a lot of parents think that tech is here to stay, so our kids have to learn everything, and they do, but they do not have to learn everything right now. What they need to learn is how to pull weeds in the backyard, how to make up their bed, how to cook a meal. They need to be learning all of that. They need to learn how to have a friend, how to make a friend, how not to have to have social media to have a friend. These are the things they need to be learning, and we only have 48 months of high school to teach them these things. So the regulations are good. And I do believe the regulations, the best thing about all these stories in the news right now is that it raises awareness. It raises awareness. And people that really weren't thinking about it are like, oh my gosh, there's a problem. Maybe I didn't know about that. And we need to look a little bit further. And so at Screen Strong, we provide education and we provide the community. Those are the two things that every parent needs more than we need regulations, although the regulations are really fine. I hope you are all encouraged by this clip, and I hope that you do feel more empowered, because it is time to roll up your sleeves. It is time for all of us to roll up our sleeves and do the hard work of preventing mental health problems in our own families. We can't depend on the big tech companies to do this job for us. Only you can prevent the mental health problems in your own home and get your kids back on the right track. You know, you only have 48 months of high school to keep them on track, or like I said, get them back on track. We just have this brief period of time to make a huge impact in their life. So while I love all the people out there that are doing all the stuff to change the laws and all the work behind the scenes with all that, there is so much good work being done. I want to encourage you not to take your eyes off the ball and take care of your own kids right now first. Then when you get your kids all shored up, then we can worry a little more about the larger problem. But for now, please take your kids' health and their mental health into consideration and do the right thing. Pull back the type of toxic screen use and the problematic screen use that is hurting them the most. They need you to do this now, and we have the perfect tool to help you with this. This print version of the KBS course is going to help you. We're going to come right alongside and help you with this educational piece as you save your kids. So thank you all for listening today. I hope this episode has really motivated you to take the steps toward becoming a Screen Strong family. We would love to see you on our Screen Strong Connect Plus forum. This is not social media. This is a forum on our website. So go to screenstrong.org and upgrade to the Plus area so you'll get more content. There are wonderful videos in there that you can even share with your kids. Remember, our student course is out in print on Amazon right now. So I want you to contact your schools. This course is really designed perfectly for a school curriculum. And if you want more information on being a Screen Strong ambassador, contact us. If you want to be that mom in your school that takes the Screen Strong message and really is the pioneer behind getting the course in there, getting every middle school kid to a Friday fun night that we talk about in our course, and you want to be the pioneer for that, let us know. We will give you all the tools you need to do that. So please subscribe to this podcast and share this particular episode with a friend to encourage them. Remember, we've got your back and we are here to help you. So until next time, stand up for your kids and get the KBS course, stand out from the crowd and stay strong.